Romans 5, you'll stand with me, please, in reverence to the scripture. For sake of time, let me just make mention that in Romans 5, there are five different verses that uses the two-word statement, much more. I'm interested in the last one, verse number 20. Actually, let's read verse 19 with it. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's talking about Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And I notice this, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be seated. I would ask you to pray for me today that the Lord will help me. Father, we pray as we have read the Holy Scriptures that, Lord, you will anoint us to preach this morning, that the power of God would be upon us. Lord, I pray that what takes place and transpires here in the next few minutes would not be of man, but it would be through you and from you. And Lord, we yield ourselves to you this morning to be a vessel of honor. Lord, a channel, a conduit. Lord, that you can flow through us, God, to this congregation. And Lord, I believe this morning that the Spirit of God wants to do greater things than what we're seeing take place in our day. And no doubt it's because that he is so grieved and he is so quenched with unyielded lives and unsurrendered wills of your people. And I pray you will help us to know that, God, everything that you're doing in this hour, you're doing through the Holy Spirit that's within every believer. Help us this morning to be a yielded Christian, surrendered Christian, a selfless Christian this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll get the glory this morning. And help me, I pray, to preach like I will wish I had, Lord, when I stand to give an account one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And may the listeners, may they listen this morning like they will wish they had when they stand likewise at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what they have heard this morning. Lead us and guide us and direct us, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I've already mentioned, there are five verses in Romans chapter number 5 that deals with the statement, much more. That got big to me, and that got my attention. And so we're dealing with that. That's just the title of it, much more. Or you could say there's much more from God, but there's just much more. And we noticed last week on Sunday morning, we dealt with in the book of Deuteronomy the much more of sin, the much more of sin and sinfulness. And I want to read that verse. This, of course, is Moses. He's getting ready to die, and he's giving some final words to the children of Israel before Joshua takes over. And here's what he says in verse number 26 and 27. Take this book of the law, put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord's talking to Moses. Put the book of the law, that is the Ten Commandments, put it inside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion. Now notice this verse. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Now that lets us in on a truth about sin, that the path of sin is not level. It is always a declining path. And you find that sin has the much more principle with it. That is, what you're in today, the devil means for that to get worse and worse and greater and deeper and deeper. And people that are addicts this morning, they didn't start out that way. those that are alcoholics didn't start out that way. They maybe just a little social sip and just to get along with the peers and fit in with the group, you know. And then, you know, before long you develop a taste, and then you develop what you think is a need, and that need gets in the driver's seat, and it propels you into an addiction that literally will strip you of everything that's worth anything. There's not one addiction, carnally speaking, fleshly speaking, humanly speaking, earthly speaking, that is good for you. The only addiction that's good for you is when the Bible said they addicted themselves to the ministry in the book of Acts. Addicting yourself. Boy, if we would have that, we'd have revival, wouldn't we? Amen. If we would get as hooked on God as people are on dope, I want to tell you, we'd have revival. Amen, that's right. Say amen right there. If we'd get addicted to God to where an addict can't go one day without it. They never go hardly a few minutes without thinking about it. It's on their mind constantly. They're constantly planning. How can I get more? How can I get more? Where's my sources? Amen. I'm not going to be too far from my sources. Boy, it'd be good if we'd get addicted to God, get addicted to the Bible, get addicted to prayer, get addicted to ministry, get addicted to serving God. Amen. That where we can't do without it. Oh, yes. Yes, amen. And when those addicts don't get what they're addicted to, they fall apart. Yeah. Their world falls apart. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be with us. When we get away from the Lord, everything ought to fall to pieces. Wow. Everything ought to fall to pieces because we need Him and are dependent upon Him and attached to Him and addicted to Him so much. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Before I got saved, I used to, and I hate to even mention this, but it's certainly not in any kind of braggadocious way, but shameful way, but I fooled around with Miller Lowlife and Bud Stupid, and I dealt with some of those things, amen, and you know what, when I got saved, I want to tell you what, I kept drinking, I just switched fountains, amen. I prefer what comes from the inside versus what I can get on the shelf, and well, amen. And I'd rather drink from what Jesus paid for than what I'd have to pay for. And some asked me, said, why did you ever go back? Why did you not ever go back to that party in life? I'm addicted to a greater source. I'm addicted to a greater cause. Amen. And it's been influencing my life now for 35 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's free. That didn't cost you anything. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. But the Bible said in verse number 20 here, we have what I want to deal with today, if I can get to it, the much more, not of sin, that's what Deuteronomy talks about, the much more of sin and the much more of sinfulness. And I want to comment on that just a little bit more. Hey man, I was going to go on and just deal with verse 20 and deal with the much more of salvation. I think I need to comment on the much more of sin just a minute or two here. Because there's no need to talk about salvation if you don't even know what sin is. Amen? If you don't know what's going on concerning sin. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is willfully and intentionally being disobedient to God's word. And let me say this. Of course, most adults in here know this, but I want the young people to know it. That sin has a dominating nature about it. It has a reigning, mastering, lording nature about it. That's why Moses said there about the much more of sin. You're rebellious now, but he said, after I'm gone, he said, you're going to be much more in that area. You're going to increase. It's going to progress. It's going to deepen. It's going to get wider and higher. It's going to consume, and it's going to control your life. Do you know the Bible uses such terms in the book of Romans as dominion? And it uses the word reign. It uses the word servants. All of that in chapter 5 and also in chapter 6 of Romans, it talks about that in relation to your life of sin. Amen? Sin will move quickly from just being something you explore, something that you just want to try, something that you just want to mess around with a little bit, with no intentions of it getting in the driver's seat.
But let me just say to you, as a word, and to myself again, as a word of warning, as a word of caution, that sin has a mastering principle with it. That is, as long as you fool with it and yield to it and obey it, I want to tell you that sin will move into being a master in your life. What's a master do? A master tells you what to do. Romans 6 talks about before you got saved, you were servants of sin. Sin, can I give you something here to write down and you don't ever forget it? Sin will never serve you. When you first fool around with sin, you may think that, oh, this sin is really going to serve me. It's going to satisfy me. It's going to gratify. It's going to give me what I want and what I need. No. It may appear that way to start with. But the true nature of sin, as revealed in Scripture, is it'll become your master. It'll become your master, and it will, listen, it will have dominion over you. It'll have dominion over you. That's scriptural. That's what the Bible says. Let not therefore sin have dominion over you. Let not sin reign. Reign as a king. Oh yeah, sin will move quickly without your permission, without asking, would it be okay if I take over your life? Will it be okay if I corrupt your life? Will it be okay if I absolutely rip to shreds everything in your life? No, when you start fooling around with it, it moves quickly into that domination. It moves in, my friend, quickly into that reigning position in your life. Oh yes. And that word dominion means to rule over or to lord over. Don't let sin lord over you. Jesus Christ is the only Lord. Jesus Christ is the only Lord. Amen. And I wonder how many even sits in church pews that have a secret in your life that's lording over you. You can't have victory. You can't seem to go on and serve God and can't seem to really do something for the Lord because of some dominating, controlling, reigning sin in your life. Oh yeah, we'll go to point two when we get there, but we're on this one right now. Amen. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 is talking about when it said, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Not a sin or sins, plural. Let us lay aside the weight and every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. I believe in every person's life there is one challenging, confronting, controlling, dominating thing that you need to deal with if you're going to run the race of faith and pace for the Lord and accomplish something for the Lord and turn out to be somebody for the Lord. That's true. I believe there's in every life the devil, he knows your weaknesses and he will seek to cater to that weakness with a strength, with a sinful strength. Lay aside the weights and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And that terminology is used in light of a race, running a race. Brother Carroll, y'all run races. And if Brother Carroll, and he runs races, if I climbed on his back, I doubt he would make it far. Because I would be an encumbrance. I would be a weight. I would be a hindrance. I would be a restriction. God is saying in that passage, if you're going to run full potential, run full capability, lay aside the weights. What's this? I don't know why I'm on this. I really don't, but I'm on it, and I know I'm on it. Are you listening? Holy Spirit's giving me a definite I'm on it. Are you listening? But listen, a weight may not necessarily have a verse of Scripture against it. A weight may not have a chapter and verse that says it's sin or thou shalt not. A weight is something in your life that's hindering you. A preacher may not be able to mount the pulpit and blow you out for it with a verse of Scripture, but it's hindering you. And you know that. We all know what's hindering us this morning. We all know what's that hindering weight, that hindering sin in our life. And God says we need to deal with it. Amen? Oh yeah, don't ever forget it. Sin will not serve you. I wish I'd have learned that years ago. I wish I'd have heard that. And had I heard it, I wish I'd have believed it. That sin will not serve me, but rather I will serve it. I will serve sin. And you young people, you could be spared. Listen, on this Sunday morning, coming to the close of the month of April, listen, you'd be spared a lot of heartache if you could get that, just that. If you don't remember nothing else, Preacher Ackley says, just that one statement right there, that sin will never serve you.
That's right.
But rather, you will serve it as it moves in to be master over your life. Amen. That right there would spare you a lot of heartache if you'd listen to it. But I know how young people are. I know how I was. What instruction Daddy tried to give me, I disregarded it. What instruction I did here in church, I disregarded it because I thought, well, I'm not going that far, you know. I'm not going to turn out to be an sot. I'm not going to turn out to be an alcoholic. I'm not going to turn out to be a dope-smoking, pill-popping bum. I'm not going to do that. And they think, well, I can handle it. I can handle it, preacher. I'm just going to dabble around the ankle-deep waters of sin, and I'm not going to go out over my head. Yeah, that's what they all say.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't have been for the divine, intervening, interrupting grace of God in this fellow's life 35 years ago, I would have went out over my head in a life of sin. Yes, I would have. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. I'm just going to mind the Lord. I remember growing up, my daddy always, man, I'm telling you, he made alcohol. I mean, daddy always made me believe that if you even touch it, you know, you're going to hell. I mean, he made it as ugly and nasty, and there's no way we can exaggerate that. You can't exaggerate the filth and the garbage of alcohol. You can't exaggerate. You can't make it look too bad. You can't make drugs look too bad, no. Oh, no. All you look behind their lives, their lives of is wreck and ruin and just shattered pieces of dreams. I saw a billboard this week, man, I liked it. It said alcohol. It said alcohol causes dreams to disappear. That's the truth, ain't it? Strip you of everything. The only thing that really makes good sense is to get born again and to live for the Lord.
Amen.
That's the only thing that makes good sense.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. Look in verse 20 of chapter 5 real quick. Chapter 5, verse 20. And I still want to talk to you just another minute or two about that sin and that progression of sin, that much more of sin. Look in verse number 20. I saw this actually last night as I was looking at this scripture again. It said, where sin abounded. I noticed that for the first time, that ED on that. It's not talking about potential. It's talking about a happening. It's talking about, this is the report. This is where sin abounded. Where sin abounded, it's already done that. It's already moved into the mastery. It's already moved in as Lord over their life. Where sin abounded. Young people, you may not can say that sin has abounded in your life. You may not have gotten to that place where that you look back and all you see is a string of bad choices. I want to tell you, if you're not saved, you're just as lost as I was. Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. That word abounded there in verse 20 means to exist in abundance. Is everybody listening? That's what the nature and that's what the direction, that's the course of sin is to move into the abounding category in your life. Sin doesn't just want to be a little fragment, a little part. No, sin wants to move into being abounding in your life, which means to exist in abundance. You can't handle sin. Can I help you with something? You can't handle it. You would, if you could handle it, you would be the first one since Adam and Eve that could handle it. And you're not going to be the first one. No, you're not the first one. No, sir. And I want to tell you that listen, sin, the nature of it, the direction of it, the path of it, the very principle of it is to move little by little, even subtly and slowly and almost undetectedly to the place to where it's abounding in your life. To exist in abundance is what that word means. It also means to make, to increase. By extension, to be in abundance. That's what the word abounded, where sin abounded. I hope we get that. I never really saw that in that light before. I wrote this down. The world will furnish the fertilizer for sin to abound in your life. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 21, look at the word that's used there. That as sin hath reigned, do you see that word reigned? That means to be a king, to exercise kingly power or rule. What's it rule unto? What's it reign unto? The Bible says it reigns unto death. It reigns unto death. Sin, write this down in your heart. I've said it many times. Sin is not your friend. It's not a friend of your purity. It's not a friend of you mentally. It's not a friend of you socially. It'll not be a friend of you in any category. Let me share something with you real quick. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. James chapter number, I believe it's chapter 1. Yes, James chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now notice this progression, this process of sin. That's what I'm talking about, the much more of sin. And I wasn't aiming to preach this morning, I'll be honest with you. I was aiming to mention it by way of sort of review and then start on the next point of the much more of salvation in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace, hallelujah, doth much more abound. But looky right here, listen, this is the process of sin. This is the direction, the progression of sin. I'm going to read verse 14 again, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, listen to that. That's family talk. A conception of a seed. And when lust hath conceived, you mess around with sin, there will be a conception of that in your life and in your heart. And look at this, notice the progression of it now. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's another birthing term, bringing forth. Bringing forth sin. And sin, watch this term, when it is finished. Does that denote a process? Does that denote something that's ongoing and it's got a design in mind? It's got a destiny in mind? It's got a goal in mind? What is it, preacher? When sin is finished, bringeth forth death. Do you know I could preach like this every Sunday for 5 years? Exposing, uncovering, revealing the truth about sin. And by the way, if you want to know the truth about any truth, get in the Bible.
That's right.
You can't read a world's documentary on, a documentary on sin and get an accurate view. No, the Bible says it plain. Amen. Right? Straight up and plain. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Oh, yes. That's right. So let me just mention this quickly. And man, I'm telling you, this. I hope we get it. I hope we get it. I've never seen righteousness ruin a life, but I've sure seen sin ruin it. I mean, I wish y'all could have heard the testimonies this week of those I talked about earlier in Georgia. I wish you could have heard those testimonies. What they thought was going to be a wonderful thing, a wonderful life, a wonderful experience, is destroying them. This young man got saved, you know, and has been a drug addict for a few years, and he said his wife told him, said you either quit it or I'm out of here. Are you listening? Of course, God saved him by his own testimony. I hope he really got saved, because I know for God to save his soul means God will also save his life. A person living in sin, I'm talking about living in sin, has not had their soul saved.
That's true.
You can't prove that from the scripture or prove contrary to that from the scripture. In fact, chapter 6 of Romans, what shall we say then to thee? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Listen to verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If God hadn't saved your life, he probably hadn't saved your soul. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I've had people to tell, well, God has saved my soul, preacher, but, you know, my life don't matter. Show me that in the scripture.
That's
not nowhere to be found in the holy word of God. No. Brother Craddock opened Sunday school this morning. When God saves you, you then and there become a new creature. You become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's an initial happening. That is, as soon as you got saved. I mean, just like that, there's a change that takes place in your life. There's an initial initial happening, Brother Mike, where old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But then there's a progression of that. Old things are continually passing out of my life, and new is continually coming into my life. Amen. Well, I'm glad of that, aren't you? But let's look just for a moment anyway, verse 20 of Romans chapter 5, and let's just at least start to talk about the much more of salvation. And I'm glad to tell you this morning, and I've spent one service and part of another talking about the much more of sin and sinfulness. And I hope you got that. I really do. I hope you young people got that. If you've got that, it will spare you a lot of heartache and trouble in your life, and even spare your mom and dad some sleepless nights and wetting their pillow with tears and amen, just weeping over you as you're being stupid and foolish. Let me say this to you before I go on. There is a biblical connection between sinfulness and stupidity.
That's right.
That right there would save you a lot of heartache too if you'd hear it. Amen. There's nothing smart about sin. There's no wisdom in sin. Amen. Preach on, Preacher Rackley. That's right. There's nothing smart about it. Amen. To yield and listen to sin and be involved in sin is a life that really is ignorant and stupid. It really is. It's not wise. Amen. My soul, I've seen people make choices in a sinful direction and step away from a family, step away from ministry. I've seen pastors make stupid, sinful choices and ruin everything, destroy everything.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Hey, amen. I've seen young people do that. God help you is all I can tell you. I'm giving you the book. Amen. Amen. Whatever you do with it. But there is the much more of salvation. Amen. I wrote this down. If there was not the much more of salvation, there would be no hope
of escaping the much more of sin. There wouldn't be no alternative, Brother Randy. No other alternative. You get in that life of sin, and let me say, oh Lord, help me, Jesus, amen. Let me just tell you why that sin has such a dominating, reigning, lording, mastering position in people's lives. You know why? There's two reasons. The first is the depravity of your flesh. You say, what does that mean? Your flesh, your human, fallen, Adamic nature is so sin-loving that it will love, I'm talking about to the excess, the very things that will destroy you. An alcoholic person, a person that's addicted to drugs, they know those drugs is killing them. But their depraved flesh loves that feeling and loves that high, that buzz, that pleasure, to the point they're willing to ignore the fact that this is killing me. I just want it. Why is it that sin can have such a reigning, dominating, mastering, lording power over you and I? It's because our flesh loves sin so much, and your flesh loves sin. And by the way, your flesh is not saved. I just thought I'd tell you. Your flesh is not saved. No. That's right. In fact, there's only one restraint to the flesh, and that's the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's right. That's the only restraint you have to the flesh. So if you're not saved and you're dabbling with sin, that sin's going to dominate your life. Why? Why does sin take you that far? It's because of the depravity of the flesh. It was testified this morning. Miss Sims testified about it. Miss Hannah testified, I believe, about it in the choir, about this second truth that enables sin to get to that position where it is dominating in your life, not only because of the depravity of your flesh, but because of sin's impossibility of satisfying you. That's why you go deeper and deeper and deeper, because the shallow didn't do it. Amen. One little try, one little taste, one little experience did not satisfy. So the devil tells you, you just need to do it again. And then you just need to do it again and again and again. And you need to do more of it. And you need to buy more of it. And you need to smell more of it and taste more of it and pop more pills. You need to do more of it. Why? Because sin cannot satisfy you. Man, why? So if you want to know why that sin can move into that dominating, reigning, mastering as a king in your life, it's because of the depravity of your flesh and because of the impossible ability of sin to satisfy you. If a little bit satisfied you, nobody would ever be an alcoholic. Nobody would ever be a drug addict. Nobody would ever be in over their head and lose everything they've got if a little bit would satisfy. But you're to know this today. You're to be smart enough to figure this out, that if a little don't, a lot won't. Somebody need to write that down. If a little sin won't satisfy you, a lot won't. Why? Because sin does not have the capability of satisfying you. You explore it, you experiment with it, and I want to tell you, when it's all said and done, you'll still have an empty hole inside of you. You'll still have a vacuum in you that says, that didn't do it. I need more, or I need something different. Amen. The testimony this morning about the woman at the Samaritan woman had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. What about that? She already had five husbands and was shacked up with another one. Are y'all listening? Yes. And you know what Jesus was showing? Her life is a portrait of the fact that sin cannot satisfy. It's not how much of it you got or how much you do or none of that. No. It does. Come on, listen to the preacher. Listen. Sin does not have the capability to satisfy you.
People gets out of church. They don't get out of church over righteousness. They get out of church over sin. I've never seen any of them blessed. I've never seen any of them prosper. I've seen their life just begin to slowly and consistently unravel. Just fall apart. I had one to tell me one time, and I was trying to wave him off from the far country. And out of his own mouth, this was years ago, out of his own mouth, he said, "Preacher, it was a short way out, but it's a long way back." And I don't know if he's ever been back yet, and that's been years. Amen. You can't fool around with it. Listen, you can't play the sin game and win. Why? The deck is stacked. It's all rigged. It's geared from the get-go for you to lose.
That's right.
But sin, people will fool with it in spite of everything. In spite of parental advice and instruction. In spite of pastoral instruction and preaching. In spite of the Holy Spirit. And listen, in spite of the Word of God. In spite of the Scriptures. They'll ignore it and go right on. And they say, "Well, I wish I'd listened." What good is that? It's too late. What good is that?
That's true.
I've had letters written to me from inside prison walls of young people that once sat downstairs in this very church in my youth Sunday school class years ago, and with tears, speckled stains all over a handwritten letter. Basically, to summarize, the whole letter was, "Preacher, I wished I'd have listened."
Yes.
Preacher preaches. You think we're up here beating our gums together? You think that Preacher Rackley's just up here just, you know, well, that's his job. Or, well, he's the pastor of RBT. That's his job. That's his career. No. No, that's not. God sent me up here. Yes, God has sent me up here. God has called me to preach. And listen, when God sends a man to preach to you, God, listen, you need to listen to that.
That's right.
Oh my. Well, for some reason, the Lord wouldn't let me get off of that. I wanted to get on this other, but I'm going to just close with this right here. I'm not even close to being dealing with this. And this one is so big. The much more of salvation, this one is so big, I definitely don't want to just run through it for the sake of going through it. The Bible tells us there in Romans that sin will have dominion over you. Let not sin reign as a king in your life. I thought about this morning. The dominion and reign of sin cannot be broken apart from God. And a good illustration of that, and I'll close with this. And a good illustration of that is the children of Israel. Over 400 years in Egypt's bondage. Pharaoh, type of the devil, Egypt's always a type of the world, had dominion, reigned over them, had like the king over them. Do you think they ever tried to escape? Do you think the children of Israel ever tried to break out? Well, you know they did. But to make a long story short, over 400 years of bondage, of domination, of control. But it was not until God sent a deliverer.
That's right.
That's the only way that bondage was ever broken. Amen. And so I'm telling you here today, thank God. Listen, I'm glad there's an alternative.
Yes.
Yes, there's a fact. Listen, I've done preached almost two services on it. There is the much more of sin and sinfulness. You can't get around that. You can't deny that. And many of you know people in your life that you can see that happening in their life as we're preaching today. But I'm glad there is an alternative. Or as that song says, I'm glad there's a remedy. I'm glad this morning that it's not just the hopeless, course of sin that ends up in death and hell. But I'm glad there is a salvation, hallelujah, where sin abounded. That's a fact, but that's not all the verse. Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a much more of salvation this morning. Jesus Christ can set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ can take you from being servants of sin and having sin reign as the king in your life. Jesus Christ can move that out and he becomes your king. And let me say, he doesn't rule your life the way sin did. Sin ruled your life with no care about what you like and what's good for you. Sin doesn't weep at night when it destroys your family or when it destroys your purity, when it destroys your youth. No, sin never weeps. You never find that. Sin will make you weep. Sin will bring you to tears, but sin don't weep. Why? Because sin don't care. But Jesus Christ, when he moves into being king in your life, and he's reigning in your life, he's got your best in mind. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. If you're not saved here today, I recommend Jesus to you. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and you can trust him. And I want to say, listen, after 35 years, this past January is 35 years, so I'm already way on past 35 now, about almost 35 and a half. Listen, if Jesus wasn't the best thing to ever happen to me, I'd surely know it by now.
That's right.
And if he's not the best thing to ever happen to me, Brother Frankie, I want to tell you right now, I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't be running the roads and traveling and preaching and pastoring here and spending almost 24 years of my life up here. I wouldn't be doing that. Why am I doing that? Because Jesus is the best thing, hallelujah, that ever happened to me. He's the one that made the difference in my life. What mama wanted to do but could not do, she went and talked to the one that could and did. Jesus is his name. I want to tell you, just as sure as he saved me and changed my life, thank God took me off the broad road that leads to destruction and put me on the narrow road that leads to life eternal. He can do that for you. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord. I've tried my best to be sensitive to you. Lord, be obedient to you in the service. And Lord, it seems that, Lord, you would have us this morning to have, Lord, dealt with that much more sin again to another level, go to another details with it. And Lord, just felt like you want us to do that, Lord. I ask you, God, to drive that home. Lord, that we could see, Lord, as the Bible talks about, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Lord, I pray you'll help us to know, Lord, that that's the process, that's the path, the goal, the direction that sin will have in our lives, even as believers. If we yield and obey, it will take us to absolute ruination. It'll destroy us. And we'll live what little life we'll have left with nothing but pure regret and misery and brokenness and sorrow. Lord, if we could do anything this morning, may we receive the word of God this morning as a word to the wise, being sufficient. Lord, I do not know why that you had me to labor more upon that much more of sinfulness and sin this morning. I don't know, and I'm not questioning you, Lord. I just know I knew that's what you were doing. Lord, I felt it as you were leading me. That's what you were doing. And Lord, I ask you for young people. I ask you for visitors. I ask you for church members. Lord, people that attend here. Lord, please, Lord, help us to not be deceived. Lord, help us to not be deceived about sin. We'll never figure it out. We'll never outsmart it. We'll never outmove it. It's always way ahead of us in the moves. And all we're doing is playing right into his hand, the devil's hand. Have your way, Lord, in this service. And Lord, that secret, that private sin that doth so easily beset us. Lord, nobody may not even know about it, but you do. And Lord, I pray that the individual or individuals will find themselves in an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm tired of fighting and struggling with this weight and sin that's besetting me, hindering me of being all that you want me to be, hindering me from being the Christian that I'm supposed to be, of accomplishing the will of God for my life. Lord, I pray that you'll take the message, dear Lord, and use it for your glory.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.